Okay, this generated more tweets this last week than anything else. And I have to say that it was the pita bread that really put the icing on the cake. The fact that you could tuck this thing into a piece of pita bread, that I don't know. I was going to call it a tempest in a teapot, because, of course, tempest is the famous technology for using radiation from something for spying. So tempest in a teapot. But I thought, well, no, tempest in a pita bread doesn't quite have the same ring. So this is an early look at a paper that will be presented at the workshop on cryptographic hardware and embedded systems this coming September 2015. Some beautiful engineering on the part of these researchers. And quoting from their page, they said, "We successfully extracted encryption keys from laptops of various models running GNU-PG, a popular open source encryption software implementing the OpenPGP standard. Within a few seconds, the attack sends a few carefully crafted ciphertext." This is the brilliant part. "The attack sends a few carefully crafted ciphertexts, and when these are decrypted by the target computer, they trigger the occurrence of specially structured values inside the decryption software. These special values cause externally observable fluctuations in the electromagnetic field surrounding the laptop in a way that depends upon the pattern of key bits, specifically the key bits window in the exponentiation routine. The secret key can be deduced from these fluctuations through signal processing and cryptanalysis."
Wow.
It's just a beautiful piece of work. So, they have multiple versions of this. In their first one, they use an SDR, a software-defined radio, and a wire going off to about a 6-inch diameter loop, which they hold near the laptop. It can work a few feet away, but it still needs to, you know, relative proximity. And of course, if they invested time in directionality and signal amplification, they could end up, you know, with a gun sort of thing that you point at a laptop. But I mean, it isn't the case that the key bits are just tumbling out. The secret to their cleverness is that they exactly understood the open source algorithm. They were able to determine that by causing it to decrypt a specific ciphertext, the act of decrypting it would generate relatively low frequency transients. That's the other thing, is even though the processor is cranking away at 3 gigs, the actual signal that comes out is about 1.7 megahertz range, way lower. And in fact, I said that first attack used a USB SDR connected to a big loop. Then they came up with a battery-powered one. That's where the pita bread comes in, because they demonstrate. In fact, that's the picture of the week on the show notes this week, is their loop with a power supply, 4 AA batteries, the SDR, and a small battery-powered computer to drive it and collect the signal, all sitting on top of a piece of pita bread, which you imagine you might be able to slice open and just tuck it in there. And, you know, if there was a lumpy looking pita bread sitting next to your laptop at Starbucks, you might want to think twice about, you know, using PGP to decrypt incoming mail that you weren't expecting, because that could contain the special ciphertext and leak your PGP keys to the pita bread, which is nearby.
If you're in the office and one of your coworkers is walking around with a euro all day, then, you know, maybe you want to take a look at it. Just a little.
I love their final refinement of this was the so-called consumer radio attack, which is the last picture there on the page, showing an AM radio with its earphone jack plugged in to a standard smartphone. They said the consumer radio attack, despite its low price and compact size, assembly of the PETA device still requires the purchase of an SDR device. As discussed, the leakage signal is modulated around a carrier of around 1.7 megahertz, located in the range of the commercial AM radio frequency band. We managed to use a plain consumer, I don't even know where they found a plain consumer grade radio receiver. You know, it looks like something with a 9-volt, well, it's called a transistor radio battery for that reason, you know, that we listened to in the 70s. But so they used a plain consumer radio to acquire the desired signal, replace the magnetic probe and SDR receiver, replacing the magnetic probe and the SDR receiver. We then recorded the signal by connecting the radio to the mic input of an HTC Evo 4G smartphone and still pulled off the attack with the radio sitting next to the laptop.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's a great bit of engineering. Steve, let me ask you this. So this is essentially using the fact that your computer is an antenna. Not a great antenna, but it's still an antenna.
Transmitter.
Exactly.
A transmitter.
How difficult would it be to take the next step and use a device like this to actually induce in certain devices in your computer so that I could, say, control your keyboard remotely? I could control the TPM chip remotely. I mean, that's sci-fi far off in
the distance. You would need something that was deliberately sensitive. That is, the reason we have digital circuits, not analog circuits, is that digital circuits are inherently noise immune. They deal with zeros and ones, which have clear, distinct voltages, and specifically noise riding on or that alters the zero voltage or the one voltage is never enough to cause confusion between the two voltages. So it's the inherent noise insensitivity of digital, which analog systems don't have, which digital does. But any radio receiver is inherently analog. It's looking for noise. Basically, it is a noise receiver, and it goes then through a lot of filtering in order to filter out all the stuff it doesn't want. So, and there have been in the past, there have been exploits. For example, you know, if you had Wi-Fi on a laptop, there's a radio receiver. There is a very sensitive noise receiver designed to receive noise and try to find a signal in the noise. And so if there were mistakes in the processing of the signal that it found, then you could imagine taking over a laptop remotely. And of course, we know that's unfortunately a little distressingly easy to do. But without something designed to receive a signal, it would take some more like an EMP in order to alter the state of the digital circuitry in your laptop. And of course, that's the good news.
You know, it strikes me that it's a whole lot easier just to take someone's security keys rather than trying to transmit something into your laptop. Once you've got that, you don't really need to break into the machine.